Hey, thanks for listening to the Two Pros and a Cup of Joe podcast with Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox, and myself, LeVar Arrington. Make sure you catch us live weekdays 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern or 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. You can find your local station for the Two Pros and a Cup of Joe show over at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Very interesting timing to make an announcement like this in the NFL. We will get into that coming up here in just a couple of moments from now. It is Two Pros and a Cup of Joe here on Fox Sports Radio. It's LeVar Arrington. It's Brady Quinn. It's Jonas Knox with you here on FSR. You can hang out with us as always on the iHeartRadio app. You can find us on hundreds of Fox Sports Radio affiliates and wherever the hell you are making us a part of your Friday. We appreciate you doing so. It is a football Friday here, and we are going to take you all the way up until 9 a.m. Eastern Time, 6 o'clock Pacific, right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Yeah.
You guys ready to do this or what?
That was my walk-up music right there, by the way.
Yeah. Getting fired up?
Hustler music, you know what I mean? Yeah, get up and hustle.
Does that get you fired up, though, that music?
Yeah, man.
That's more like chill to me.
Yeah, but see, it's the meaning of it that gets me amped up. You know what I mean? It's like you got to hustle through the heartbreaks, the setbacks, you know? You got to get your come-ups. So it's like you just got to stay focused in on it. So, like, when I be listening to music, some music is meant to just get you just straight amped up. It's just straight voltage. But then some will get you going because it just make you think about, you know, why you doing it. And that's just one of them songs that kind of take you back to, like, a place. It's like you remember why you're doing it. So, yeah, I get pumped up.
Damn right.
I'll work just as hard to a song like that than I would to a song that just like had
I got
what
you're
in my
saying.
Head. Yeah.
So you're saying like if Barry White comes on, like it might take you back to a space where you're like, oh,
well, Barry
I can
White,
get down to that.
More like Isaac Hayes
oh,
or
okay.
Curtis Mayfield.
Wow.
Like that I could actually lift weights to them. Mm-hmm. I could work out or do what I'm doing to that music and I get the same results as if I was listening to something more, you know, like Onyx or DMX, you know, like something more hype.
Curtis Mayfield. I'm more of a Curtis Enos guy myself.
Well, Curt Enos was a dope dude.
That's right.
Damn right.
That's
right. Brady knows. We are. Yeah. You don't get it, LeVar.
Yeah.
You don't understand, man.
So
you know, it's like at State College.
I mean, they do say we are ND, by the way.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Nice.
Well, I mean, what are we battling off or we are
I'm
here?
I'm just saying it's a thing. It's a thing.
USC does it too. It's cool.
Oh, they do.
I just don't play the LBU thing. Like you could do the we are thing. Y'all could have, you know, I'm all right with sharing that. We're not sharing LBU though.
Okay.
Who else would even be in the conversation?
Well,
so many people want to do it.
Florida
you know what I mean?
State?
But here's the thing. It doesn't matter how many you have. Like, understand what I'm telling you. We created the name and we own the name. Like, listen to what I'm telling you. We, Penn State, owns the saying linebacker U. Like, we own it. So if somebody were to put linebacker U and it's at Texas or Texas A&M or Miami or Florida or Florida State, you name it, USC, it doesn't matter if you've had more linebackers than us.
Okay.
We created the name. We are the name. We own the name. It's our identity. You can't take somebody else's identity and be like, well, we've had more linebackers than you from this time to this time, so now we've taken no, it's not. You can figuratively, you can maybe even literally say we have better linebackers than you do at this point, right?
All right.
But you can't say you're linebacker you. That's, you can't do that.
All right, so who's tight end you? Is it Iowa? Is it Miami? Like, who's tight end you?
What?
I don't know.
Notre Dame has more tight ends. Give me a break on that.
Okay, well, gee, I don't know. I'm sorry. Like, I didn't know.
It's like.
Look it up. It's factual. It's not even debate.
All right. Like, I was just asking the question here.
I'm just trying to figure it out. You're taking it into a realm where it's like, that, I don't know that it's. Like, I think that they call LSU DBU. I think that that's the only other place where it's like a position a position is labeled and deemed that for that school.
Clemson, wide receiver, you. Yes or no?
I don't know that but you're speculating. Like, you want us to give an opinion.
No,
I'm not giving an opinion. I'm telling you the identity that belongs to Penn State is that it's linebacker you. That it belongs there.
Have you heard other schools try and claim?
Yes.
It? Like who? There Florida State and Miami?
USC and Miami and Ohio State. USC, Miami, and Ohio State.
Have tried to claim it.
And you can't.
It's yours.
You can't. It's ours forever. Like, you can't do nothing with it. We own it. You're going to try to acquire it? What you going to pay for it? And why would you pay for it? Stupid.
So do they sell linebacker U shirts?
Yes.
With like all okay, so you guys have copywritten.
We are. All, yes, we own
that's
it.
That's awesome.
Jonas, we own it. I tried to buy it. I wanted to buy it. This is how I know. I wanted to buy it. Penn State owns it. They own it.
No, that's
for a very long time now.
So basically, lesson learned to any of you poser schools out there. Don't try and claim LBU.
Yeah, please don't.
Yeah, because
you can say you have great linebackers. There's nothing wrong with that. Nobody's going to take anything away from that. USC has had a ton of great linebackers. Ton. So has Miami. So has Ohio State. Great. Michigan, Notre Dame. Those are traditional. A lot of times traditional schools have had amazing linebackers because that is the heart and soul of not only your defense, it's the heart and soul of a team. So you got to have dope linebackers to be a part of what goes on with that. They're the ones that execute the dirty work that the pretty boys don't have to execute. They call us when the negotiations go wrong and you got to go in and you got to extract them up out of it. That's us. We the first ones on the ground.
You needed to go to the Bears, man.
You need to play
for the Chicago Bears. No, Come on, man. That's the.
Although I might have had a Hall of Fame career.
That's the linebacker U of the NFL, the Chicago Bears,
no,
throughout
brother,
the course of history.
Not even close.
Okay, Dick Butkus, Mike Singletary, Brian Urlacher, Lance Briggs, Wilbur Marshall. Not even close?
No.
Who's better?
Pittsburgh.
Well, that's a good point.
Pittsburgh.
Okay, middle linebackers. All right, well, can we at least corner the market on middle linebackers, the Chicago Bears?
The Bears have had great linebackers for certain, and probably a couple of the best outside of Ray Lewis, a couple other guys. I mean, yeah, Mike Singletary, yeah, Urlacher. Yeah, I mean, I'm okay with it.
All right.
Okay with it.
Well, speaking of great players, Sean Taylor was a great player.
That's dot.
Yeah. And, you know, not the nicest guy to punters in the Pro Bowl, but Sean Taylor was a great player. And the timing of this is a little interesting because the Washington football team announced that this Sunday before the Chiefs game, they are going to retire his jersey, just the third player in Washington history to get his jersey retired, and they're going to be naming a road after him. Call me a skeptical guy as far as this story goes, but it just feels a little bit like maybe this has been thrown out there so they can kind of take away some of the attention from some of the heat they're getting with all these emails that are out there. I'm not trying to be too negative, but
it was already planned.
It wasn't, though. They announced it this week. That's the point. That's what people are bothered by, is that they just waited to announce it this week.
But it was already planned. You can't say it wasn't. It was.
But nobody knew about it.
Well, that's different than it wasn't planned. It was already planned. It just wasn't. I have no idea why it was not announced. That just became knowledge to me, obviously, yesterday with everything that's going on. But the plan to do it had already taken place. Like they were.
Wait,
planning
so you're
on-
saying they were going to do it this exact date, or they were going to do it this season at some point? They just hadn't announced.
No, it was. I'm pretty certain it was alumni. It's the coincidence of it is crazy. It's pretty crazy. But I knew this. I know this for certain because Jackie Garcia, who is the mother of Sean's daughter, called up Trish and wanted us to come in and be a part of the festivities when it took place. And I do believe it was scheduled for alumni weekend, which I think is this weekend.
I do feel like I saw something way back that they were going to do something like this. Like, I don't know if it was a formal announcement, but I do remember seeing something like this a little while ago.
Yeah, I don't know. Again, I don't pay attention to them like that, so I wouldn't know all of the details in terms of what they put out there press release-wise or in the media reports, the media guides going into the season. But I do know that this was something that was important to them because even the Red the team reached out to me to try to get a hold of me about this event in particular because they knew of the relationship that was there.
Jason Wright came out and apologized because fans were pissed off
that they
waited until Thursday of the game to announce, yeah, we're going to be having these festivities
here. I don't get that. I don't understand it. I don't know. But I do know that they have – I'm pretty certain – If I got my information correctly when it was being relayed to me, that Pete and all those guys, like, his family is going to be there. Like, they have planned for this. This is not a 3-day, like, all right, let's retire his jersey to take the attention off of everything that's going on. This was planned. But here's the thing, right? I did an interview yesterday with my old station in Washington, D.C., and I just basically said, when you have messed up the bid as many times as this organization has messed up the bid, there comes a point in time where there's nothing you can do to make the bid smell better, to make it feel better.
No cologne.
What do you got to do? What do you got to do with that mattress?
Throw it out.
You got to throw it out. You got to throw it out. I think this organization, with this latest stuff that's going on and all of the backbiting and posturing and colluding and just everything that's going on with this organization, they just need to blow it up, man. Anybody, Dan Snyder, anybody else who's been a part of the ownership groups, whatever, they just need to be, it needs to be disconnected, disassociated, blown up, start all over. I just think that the toxic energy is like no going back. And you hate to liken it to anything in real life that people are going through, but this is like stage four, man. You're not correcting this.
I would say this. I don't think Hill would look to sell or would want to sell if he had his choice until they get a new stadium. And I feel like knowing how savvy he is, even how he's navigated everything that's transpired in the past couple of weeks, he'll want to get a new stadium, all right? And then he's gonna want to maybe open a season there and then start shopping it around. And reason being is because that's when his valuation will skyrocket. If he sells now, that team is not worth even close to what it's going to be if he has a new stadium.
Let me ask you this. You have a rapidly deteriorating fan base. Rapidly.
Sure.
How do you justify to what city? Is it to the district? Is it to Virginia? Is it to Maryland?
Well, you're going to go find the cheapest land possible to do it, right? Like, that's typically how this works.
So how are you going to justify to the taxpayers or to the decision makers that are in one of those areas? How are you going to justify that type of project?
Because you don't have to justify it to taxpayers.
Well,
how you justify it is the economic stimulation you'll get, right? You're going to be creating jobs.
How do you justify it?
What do you mean how? That's how. I'm telling you. When you make a proposal like this, you're going to go to, let's just say, even if it was a new city you're looking to move to, you're going to talk to wherever you're going, how many jobs you're going to be creating, how it's going to help out home value, how it's going to help out all of that economic activity that all surrounds the stadium, whether it's retail, restaurants, et cetera, you're going to put together all these reports. That's what you're going to present if you're looking to get any sort of help from that city, from whoever you're looking at going to,
that's
right? Like
key.
That's how that's going to work. But I don't even know that a professional sports team needs to always do that. They could raise those funds privately because they're making so much from these TV deals, and you're hard pressed to find companies or organizations that appreciate the way a sports team does, or at least has. You're hard-pressed to find that. So if you can go find private funds, you don't even have to bring taxpayers into it necessarily. But I would think most places would love to have one of the 32 teams that are in the NFL a stadium in their city if they could.
Yeah.
If they told you otherwise, they're lying to you.
How bad is that stadium?
It's bad. And getting in and out of it is bad. But
well, you almost die just walking across the street to walk in that place. I've told you that.
It's a much
human frogger.
It's human frogger just to get in that place.
It's a much larger conversation. And what you're saying is accurate and correct. But I just think this situation in particular, the knowledge of who he is, the knowledge of the ownership and how that's gone over the last year, the idea of them trying to move it into the district and have it paid for by the district and it not happening. I just think that there are a lot of roadblocks there based upon how things have gone. I mean,
let's put it this way. Teflon Danny, as you called him, right?
Teflon.
He's still standing, bro.
Yeah,
if he's got anything on Roger Goodell, and that's why he's still standing, you best believe he's got something on some politicians to push this through, right?
He definitely I've probably seen some of it with my own two eyes. I don't know. Teflon Danny. I think it's going to be a tough one for him to navigate. This is a tough road to hoe. And again, he just can't seem to do right. Back to the origin before we go to break. Back to the origin of the story. For Sean Taylor to always be the scapegoat or the person that you try to leverage for goodwill, I think sucks. Yeah. Let me first say that. I think that absolutely sucks. And for the simple fact, I played with Daryl Green. And if somebody's jersey should be getting retired at any point in time right now, it should be Daryl Green.
His jersey's not retired?
No. And Jesus. If there were another jersey to get retired in the line of jerseys to get retired, you would probably have to say Art Monk and John Riggins are on that list of jerseys that should be retired. And God bless and all due respect to my bro. But to continue to try to leverage and rally the fans around the legacy and the tragedy of Sean Taylor, it just sucks.
Yeah.
And even in trying to do something right, you're still making it something horribly wrong. You can't seem to get out of your own way, not even the new leadership of Good Guys. And it just sucks because these are good guys that seemingly are in charge. Jason Wright, good dude. Tim Hightower is in the mix, good dude. Doug Williams in the mix, good dudes. These are good, solid dudes that I feel are in losing situations because of how toxic the situation has been for how long it's been.
It is Two Pros and a Cup of Joe here, Fox Sports Radio, brought to you by Discover. Discover matches all the cash back you earn on your credit card at the end of your first year. It's amazing because Discover's accepted at 99% of places in the U.S. to take credit cards. Learn more at discover.com/yes. 2021 Nielsen Report. Limitations apply. All right, coming up next, it is the game of the weekend in the NFL, and it could have major implications on the playoffs as we get down the stretch of the NFL season. We'll get into that next here for you right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of Two Pros and a Cup of Joe with Brady Quinn, LeVar Arrington, and Jonas Knox weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
It's Two Pros and a Cup of Joe here on Fox Sports Radio.
And a West Coaster on the other side
yes,
of the window.
Roberto is feeling it, man.
Yeah, he is.
His Dodgers are on their way to an NLCS against the Atlanta Braves.
And now I can get drunk on Saturday. Yes!
Can you tell us how it played out? Because I got so many messages. And it was funny because it was a mixed bag, right? Some of them were like, yeah, you were right, man. Like a real fan would never miss watching the game or being at the game. Then some were like, you're a horrible person for saying that. Can't believe you said it. He should be with his kid. Da da da, this, that, and the other. They were happy and they were proud of you for handling your duties, even over watching your team.
Well, if you want to hear how Roberto spent his night trying to navigate his daughter's T-ball game and the Dodgers playoff game,
yes,
just stick around. Coming up in over 10 minutes from now, you will hear the answer to that from Roberto himself. Because I'm calling BS. I'm calling BS on a move that was pulled during that T-ball game to go see the Dodger game. I'm not buying it for a second. So we will get into the controversy surrounding that here on Fox Sports Radio. Unbelievable.
It worked out, though. I thought he was going to, like, curse him.
It did.
And I know you were sitting there thinking about that all day long. Like, dang, am I cursing my team?
Oh, man. All right. So it is the game of the weekend in the NFL. This is going to be a good one. We've got ourselves a rematch of a playoff game from a couple of years ago when Lamar Jackson was a rookie and the fans in Baltimore were booing him, cheering for Joe Flacco to come back in the game. And here we are all these years later. And we have got ourselves Chargers-Ravens this Sunday in Baltimore.
And Herbert wasn't there.
No, Herbert was not there. It was Phillip Rivers.
So this is a different deal.
Yeah, it was. Yeah,
this is the future.
Yeah, this is. This is
the now is what it is.
Yeah, yeah. Right, yeah.
Legitimate contenders in the AFC, I would say for both of these guys, the Chargers are fascinating, man, because they feel like they've got something going there. It's something they've tried to get going for several years now, but there's been injuries and all the other things that have come along with it. Brandon Staley seems to be pushing all the right buttons. That team seems like a legitimate contender to the AFC, and the Baltimore Ravens seem like one as well, too, and this could actually impact a playoffs game later on, depending on who hosts it, if these teams match up again. So this is going to be a lot of fun to watch.
I think the winner of this game is probably the best contender, at least right now, to Buffalo. I mean, Buffalo looks to be the best team in the AFC, and this is a contrast of a team that, in both cases, beat Kansas City. And I think you could also make the case the winner of this might have an edge up, too, in that MVP race next to Josh Allen. So there's a lot on the line between what I think Baltimore would like to do and bring, because, you know, to me, this game is in Baltimore, and they're given 3 points. And I don't think these teams are more than a point apart. And so if I was betting this, I would gladly take the 3 points and the L.A. Chargers. I don't think Justin Herbert is bothered at all by the blitz packages that teams try to bring against them. I think they've got the ability to just get absolute chunks down the field. And their defense has the ability to get after a little bit. And they were kind of the defense that, granted, new head coach, new staff, they did kind of stymie Lamar Jackson with how he went about running the football and so forth. You know, it was this style of defense that played a lot of nickel and dime. Granted, when they did that, it was actually more due to injury than it was schematically, but it worked. And so they've had that formula for success in the past. So it's going to be a great game. I cannot wait to see this. And I think it's, look, Lamar Jackson deserves a lot of credit for the way he's continually developed in his career. Like, he's just gotten better and better and better. Almost like we were talking about Josh Allen last year. I think Lamar Jackson's that quarterback this year in the NFL.
Yeah, I don't disagree. And you know, these types of games, we looked at the Ravens and we felt as though injuries could be the reason why the Ravens aren't, you know, expected to do as well as, you know, I picked them to go to the Super Bowl this year.
I did too.
I don't think that's a dead proclamation. I don't think that's dead at all. In fact, they have bounced back. Lamar Jackson's play has risen, has gone to a higher level of play. They're finding, you know, you saw Freeman in the game late on that last drive, that game-winning drive that they had, and he caught the ball out of the backfield. He ran the ball very effectively when he had it in his hands. You know, Latavius. These guys they have filled the gap that we thought would be there when the injuries took place to guys like Dobbins and who's our other running back, the big running back that got hurt.
Oh, geez.
Gus Edwards.
Yeah, Gus Edwards.
Yeah, there we go. You know, to me, I thought that was going to be a major, major issue for the Ravens. But their defense is like a basketball team, first off. Like, dudes across the front, like Calais and Jason Owe and, Odafe. These guys are tall, and they are disruptive. This defense is playing some really, really inspired defense, like Baltimore Ravens staple defense. It's just going to – I think this is going to be – the biggest test, in my opinion, for the Chargers. And what the Chargers do in this game will tell me a lot about where Herbert is and this Chargers team, because you got to remember, they are 1 year removed from being a team that almost could win but hadn't figured out how to win just yet. And now they seemingly have turned the corner on being that team. But this is the first part of the season. We're now in the second quarter of the season. And this is where you start to see if teams are still trending up or if they're starting to peak and might start trending down. So I think they can answer a lot of questions more so than Baltimore in this game.
Let me ask you guys this. You mentioned the MVP, Brady, talking about who's, you know, Lamar Jackson, Justin Herbert, Josh Allen, all in the discussion for MVP. How much worse is this team if you took Lamar Jackson out of the lineup?
How much worse?
Yeah,
how bad are they without him?
It's an entirely different team.
So is he the most important player to his team? Because you can argue Russell Wilson, but is Lamar Jackson, based on running and his playmaking, is he the most important player to his team in the NFL?
Take Herbert off the Chargers. Their offense doesn't look. Chase Daniels would be nothing close.
How dare you?
I'm just calling it what it is. Like, I would actually say this. Tyler Huntley could operate the Baltimore Ravens offense and do something more similar to what Lamar can do. Not the same thing, not in that stratosphere, but as far as running it, making some plays, passing from the pocket, we saw that a little bit. He won in the preseason. He won this backup job. Tyler Huntley could do a better job of it than I think Chase Daniel could, because I don't think there's few players who can make the types of throws that Herbert makes down the field. Like, his accuracy 15-plus yards down the field outside the numbers is unheard of. It's the best in the league right now. So I think you take either one of these quarterbacks away, they're not a winning football team, and I don't even know how many games they end up winning in general, but it's a hard question to answer because I think there's so much value provided by both.
I think the best response, if you're saying it's between the two, that's one thing. If you're saying overall – are you saying between the two or overall?
In the league, most important player to his league. Yeah. Or most important player to his team in the league.
Yeah, bro.
Like Josh Allen.
To me, it's Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, those two as well.
They fought, like, you're talking about a Super Bowl contender in both of those teams, and if you take those quarterbacks away, I think it dramatically changes what that team is capable of doing. And sometimes it's not the talent part. It's just the person part of it. And Tom Brady is more of the person part of it, where I'll look at Aaron Rodgers and I'd probably say it's more of the talent proposition that makes him that guy.
Well, you mentioned the most important person to his team, and you can just ask him, is Matt Nagy? Clearly. I mean, I just want to point that out.
Okay.
Make sure we're
because
clear
that's how you're well, able you, to that, score I mean, touchdowns.
Yeah, you didn't ask that question either.
Well,
it's weird that you brought it up.
You mentioned person. I just want to point out that, you know, according to Matt Nagy, you know, most important person to
his
team.
Because he's the head coach.
So I just want to make that clear, you know. Some point that out here. All right, it is two pros and a cup of Joe here, Fox Sports Radio. Coming up in, we will call it 10 minutes from now, we've got a couple of things. Number one, we're going to update you on the Prop Bet Monster results from last night. Also, number two, there is another very good game in the NFL this weekend. Some teams trying to make a push towards a potential conference championship game. We'll get into that here again 10 minutes from now on Fox Sports Radio. All right, if you listened to the show yesterday, you knew there was a serious situation at hand here. This is a big story. It was talked about afterwards. Roberto, our technical producer, is a diehard Dodger fan. He's also a phenomenal father. And so he was torn because he had a T-ball game for his daughter. And he also had the Dodger playoff game, an elimination game. And LeVar and I were trying to tell him, listen, you've been a Dodger fan a lot longer than you've been a father. All right, so where's your loyalty? Brady was on the opposite side saying, what
you
are you doing?
You guys are awful.
I'm just, these are facts. So Roberto.
You could make another kid, man.
That's a good point.
You know what I mean? Like, you only get one team, bro.
Yeah. So
I mean, that's if you're loyal.
If you're loyal. Look, that's
you
if you're loyal.
You could pick another team.
I never pick another team that where I'm from.
Yeah. I mean, I think never you should be more loyal to your kids than you make your team.
No, I'll make another one. I'll make another one. You hate me because I had to watch this game. We just got to wait 9 months and see if we could do it right this time. Sorry.
So, Roberto.
I'm sorry this happened.
Roberto, explain what happened.
So, we were playing. We had played two innings, right? And then the coaches were, like, talking. And one of the coaches was like, is that it? And I'm like, wow, what do you mean was that it? It started getting dark. And I was like, oh, that's right. There's no lights. Yes, there's no lights. So we didn't play the whole hour and 15 minutes. We played about 40 minutes.
And so you watched the majority of the game.
Yeah, exactly.
You do know that does not qualify you as being a dope parent because you were hoping and praying for something to happen where you could leave that game.
I mean, I got saved by the lights.
If you were all in.
Oh, you guys didn't know beforehand the lights, where there were no lights at that stadium? See, I think there were other parents involved who deliberately put it there so they could go watch the game. That's what I think.
I think that was just one of those lucky things Roberto found himself in.
Yeah.
Where it worked out both ways. He was probably so concerned about the game and then about the T-ball game, he wasn't even looking at his surroundings. He had tunnel vision on. He was like a Clydesdale in New York just trotting people around in the street.
100%.
He's just looking forward, you know? Like, I think you lucked out, buddy.
I did luck out.
How do you not know?
Because the game's always during the day, and I'm never looking up at lights. It's like the game's always during the day.
So you're always looking down at little kids, man. You're not looking up.
Yeah, this was the first game that we had in the evening.
Okay, what time was the game called local time in Southern California? The game started at 5:30, right?
It started at 6:07.
No, I'm talking about the T-ball game.
T-ball at 5:30.
Yeah. See, that's the point.
So you called.
He's answering Dodgers questions.
Yeah, that's his loyalty.
That's what I'm telling you. Just apologize to your kids.
I was talking to my wife after yesterday what you guys were saying and stuff. Oh, yeah, it was pretty funny.
She's not happy?
Yeah.
Well, Lee told us to do it.
Brady's her favorite, so.
Yeah, of course. Let me ask you this. All right. So what time
So are you taking a shot at me right now?
Yeah, racist.
Hey, Miss Wife.
Yeah.
Racist.
Just because I supported your husband. Just because I supported your husband doesn't mean that I don't need to be your favorite, okay?
Yeah. Happy wife, happy life.
Esposa.
That's true.
Yeah, esposa.
That's fair.
Now, so you called the T-ball game at what time? 5:45 local time?
No.
Like what time?
We got 40 minutes in.
Yeah.
So it's been 6 o'clock.
Yeah, yeah.
So you're telling me it's 6:10. It's getting dark out.
Here's
my
what I
ass. This isn't Alaska, dude.
No, okay. That's not true. That's not true.
At 6:10?
We were shooting something yesterday. And we literally had to wrap at a certain hour because of sunset.
Yeah, I guarantee that hour wasn't 6:10.
You know what time it was?
What time was it?
Sunset wasn't at 4:45, but that's when we had to wrap because of the time of day and the light.
Yeah,
I swear to God,
BS.
I'm not making this up.
Somebody wanted to go hit happy hour. That's all that was.
they were still shooting. That was the reason. Okay. Is they had to get us out at a certain time to still shoot other stuff.
Well,
here's the more important part, okay? Roberto, what did you actually do when you were at the T-ball game? Like, were you distracted the whole time in anticipation of the game? Did you actually coach?
Oh, yeah, I did. I did, yeah.
What? Okay. No, here's the better question. What was most front of mind? What were you thinking about the most?
Yeah.
Like, every 3 seconds, what were you thinking about? Tell the truth.
We were all thinking about the game. That's for sure.
So you're going to qualify by we were all.
Yeah, good.
Okay.
Hey,
we are.
Okay.
We are.
Yeah.
We are.
We are.
We are.
Yeah.
So that works pal.
You know what they're chanting? We are not interested in this T-ball game. That's what they were chanting there. This is all right. So at least we cleared that up. All right. It is
series.
We got the Dodgers one because we got our ass kicked.
Did you really?
Yeah. After two innings.
Yeah, it wasn't good.
What was the score?
It was like.
Look, he don't even remember.
10-2.
You don't even remember because you weren't even paying attention. You were dialed out.
Those games get out of hand. It's either like 10-2 or 15-4.
Yeah, because
it's like 20-19. It's like two good teams.
I mean, score 5 runs first or 3 outs, and we never got those 3.
Bats were really live hitting that ball off of that god dang tee.
Hey, Roberto, I already told you, forget the lights. You take away that tee, you ain't no T-ball, buddy.
Yeah.
They're not going to coach's pitch. No parents want to sit through that.
Yeah, it's a quick game.
You're not having a game.
Yeah, two pros and a cup of Joe here, Fox Sports Radio. LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox. All right, so coming up next, we got results on the prop bet monster last night. Also, another game in the NFL. Two teams vying to be a contender in the AFC and NFC. We'll have that for you next here on Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of Two Pros and a Cup of Joe with Brady Quinn, LeVar Arrington, and Jonas Knox weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific.
He's Mike Harmon. I'm Dan Byer. We have a brand new fantasy football podcast called I Want Your Flex. Twice a week, every Tuesday and Friday, we come up with new episodes to not only look back at what happened, what you need to do at that minute, and also look ahead of what's coming up in the fantasy football world.
That's right, Dan. Every week, we're going to scour the waiver wire to find the pickups to turbo boost your fantasy lineup, sits, starts, fantasy football players' rankings to get you ready to dominate the competition.
Listen to I Want Your Flex with Mike Harmon and me, Dan Byer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, man. It is two pros and a cup of Joe, literally, here on Fox Sports Radio. It's LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox.
Got him.
I need your help.
Brady, we got him.
Got him.
Listen.
I need your help. I'll be like, yeah, right.
Be careful what you click on. That's all I can say.
All I know is I'm waiting for the coroner's office to call me about your dead body, because I will not come save you. I will never. You are the guy that cried wolf.
You've never seen that picture from the set of Cocoon?
Nope.
You never seen that before?
I thought we were having a serious conversation. The nerve of me to do that.
Just, I don't know what to tell you.
I just don't understand.
We did it, Brady.
I will never be serious in this studio ever again.
Ever again?
Ever again.
Oh, man. All right. Coming up in about 10 minutes from now here on Fox Sports Radio, there is somebody spotted something. There's an NFL game this weekend. Very strange, the handling of this NFL game. Doesn't make a whole lot of sense. What is actually going on with how this line was set, the preview of the game. Very interesting. We will get into that here coming up 10 minutes from now on Fox Sports Radio. We had a tie in the prop bet monster last night, which means Monday we'll tell the story as to who wins. Bills Titans, I believe, on Monday. That'll be the next one.
Is that a rematch of the shellacking that the Titans gave the Bills last year? Was it a Tuesday when they played? Remember after like 2 weeks off from COVID?
Yeah. Or was that
the game?
Because I know Kansas City beat Buffalo on a Tuesday game.
Yeah, I don't. It wasn't that one.
Yeah,
I believe Tennessee beat. I thought it was Buffalo and off COVID.
And I think that was the game where Tannehill jumped into the end zone for no reason at all and almost tore his ACL.
Oh,
you remember that one?
I don't.
Yeah, that was uncomfortable.
Yeah, I don't either.
Yeah. Okay. Of course you don't.
Yeah.
Of course. Yeah. We hung out to dry, man.
Yeah. That's fine.
Titans won last year 42-16.
Yeah. That's not happening this year. I can assure you.
No.
Now, you mentioned, we talked about Cleveland and the Odell Beckham. He wants the football. Cleveland, Arizona is a fun game this weekend as well, too. So we've got Chargers, Ravens. We've also got Cardinals, Browns. Kyler Murray was a little bit banged up last week. There's a stat from Cleveland a week ago. I don't know if you saw this. Teams that had scored 40-plus points with zero turnovers were 463-0 in NFL history until the Browns last week.
Mm. Yeah.
So they played well. They just couldn't stop anybody. And you know, there was PAT issues as well mixed into that game like every other game. But this will be a fun one. Two teams that feel like are on the outside trying to make an impact or make a push towards an AFC or NFC championship.
I don't know if you guys feel this way, but I feel like I have a better idea of what Cleveland is than maybe Arizona.
Agreed.
And this is like a validating game for the Cardinals. If they win this game on the road in Cleveland versus a good football team, a team that's a playoff team, I think you'd have to say you're on board. Like, maybe we're just underestimating this team the rest of the way. Because, and when you look at how they match up with the Browns compared to the Cardinals, like, it's really an even playing field for the most part. So I'm really curious to see how these two teams square off. And if I'm not mistaken, didn't Kyler Murray get the best of Baker Mayfield last time these two guys squared off?
What game was that again? That was
that a couple of years ago?
Yeah, they showed
because they're both former number one overall picks. Yes. Oklahoma, both Heisman winner. Yeah.
A little.
I still want to know more about Cleveland too, though. I mean, I know a lot about them, but yeah, I do think I still want to know.
But you'd say Cleveland's a playoff team, though, right?
Yes.
Would you say that definitively right now about Arizona?
But I don't know how good of a playoff team they are.
Sure, but would you say Arizona's for sure a playoff team?
I would say yes, but I don't know how good of one they are.
Okay.
That's what I would say. So I'm interested in both. I think it's equally interesting to me.
Going
to
be a lot of fun.
Not as interesting as Jonas.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.